vain, really. That's what I see when I look in the mirror on the wall. But when I look in the mirror of God's Word, I see a son of God. I see his son. And why am I his son? Again, it's because what I've done, the service that I've done, is great. Again, it's because of the loving kindness of God. Notice what it says down in verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and here it is, where did he continue at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. You know, I can't understand. People say, okay, you're called by grace. Okay, you're saved by grace. But now, all of a sudden, you've got to maintain your salvation with some type of self-righteousness. True.
Yes.
Not true. Mephibosheth, as he sat at the king's table, as one of the king's sons, was lame on both his feet.
Amen.
When I sit at the king's table, as I sit there, as I partake of the Lord's goodness, as I partake of those things that he said before me, I do so lame. And all I have to do is push myself away and look at myself and say, I'm lame, crippled, I'm without strength, I'm God, I'm sinner. So I just kick those feet back under the table, and I look at what the Lord has done, I said, one.
Amen.
When I look at that table, I look back to what the Lord Jesus has done, the bread, that the body was broken for me, and the cup, the blood, and I forgive us for sins. And I look forward, you know, as to what's coming, I sit there, I have a good time with those lame feet underneath the table and eat according to the loving
table
of God.
Amen. The book of Jude.
I sang a song earlier. I was going to sing that.
It's a very short.
It's a big echo. The book of Jude, chapter 1, that verse, last verse in that song goes, tell me the old, old story when you have cause to fear that this world's fleeting glory is costing. And to follow that verse, I'd like to read verse 5. It says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them. You know, if you're a lost person who comes to church, you've heard that story before. And you know that there are people who are here who are saved. And you might come and you meet with this body, and there are those in this body who are saved, and you're not saved. And you come in and you sit time after time in the same body of people who are saved. I'd like to say this, that there are those who are saved, and this verse says that after the Lord had saved them, and he had them all together, all the ones he saved there, he had them all together, you know what he destroyed those people for? And if you go to hell, you know what you go to hell for? It's not because of the fact that, well, it's because of the fact that you're a sinner, but it's because of the fact that you did not believe in Jesus Christ. Because that's what saves you.
Right.
And what sends you to hell is unbelief.
Right.
But you know what? What keeps us from winning the lost is unbelief. Right. And so Jude says, I want to put you in remembrance. Now you're saved, but you'll rot on the vine because of unbelief. And if God decides to burn your testimony and destroy you, it'll be because of unbelief. It's not because of the fact that you sin. Because you sin. And you'll always sin. It's because of the fact of unbelief. And there's just one other short thing I want to share. And it's at the end of that book. And it starts in verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making the difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hitting even the garments, spotted by the blood. You know, it takes a vision. It takes a vision to win the lost. In the book of Proverbs,
Amen.
Says, where there's no vision, the people pass.
Amen.
And it takes a vision to win the lost. It takes seeing, and I read a sermon one time, I read the sermon, it convicted me a lot. It was called, What Do You See When You See a Crowd? What do you see when you see a crowd? When you're walking down the street and you see a crowd, what is it that you see? You see everlasting, eternal soul stepping off the edge of a pit into hell. Or do you see just a crowd of people? Do you see it from God's point of view, or do you just see a crowd of people? You know, D.L. Moody really, he had a fruitful ministry, but he really didn't have the power of God until he was walking down the streets of Chicago one day and said, Lord, he said, let me see Chicago through your eyes. And you know, when he writes in his diary, he said, what he felt in that moment, all that story, when he stood there and looked out on Chicago through the eyes of God and saw people perishing, that's what made the difference. And you know, I'd like to say this to the lost. It makes the turning point in your life when you see yourself. When you decide, when you take this verse here, and you decide that fear makes a difference in your life. It says some say with others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by them. And you know there comes a time when you have to fear the fire that you're in. And there comes a time when you're saved, you have to fear the fire that other people are in, and you have compassion on them, and you fear that fire, and you save them, you witness to them, and you see those people saved because of that thing, because you see them in the fire. And you see the need for having those people. You know, I don't know why there aren't a lot of lost people here tonight. But I look around, it's mostly all the book, you know? And that's sad in my heart. But I know this much, I know I haven't done my thing. And I don't know, I won't say anything about y'all, but I know I haven't done my thing to get people here. And this is the reason why. Because I need to be put in remembrance. You know, I thought last night we were driving home. I thought, you know what a preacher is? A preacher is the county road. You know, they don't just stick a 55 mile an hour sign at the beginning of the road. They stick one every 550 feet or every 1,000 feet along that road. They stick another 55 mile an hour sign. You're feeling the 55 mile an hour. Every time they go around a curve, they put another one there. Every time you come crack past the corner, they put another one there. Because they put you in remembrance of what Amen. Exactly the speed is.
Amen.
And you know, that's what the job of the church is. That's what the job of the church is. To put you in remembrance of exactly what your job is. And put you in remembrance of the fact that there are some who aren't saved. And those ones are going to be destroyed. And those ones are going to be destroyed by fire. And you should have compassion on them. And you should be afraid of that fire that they're perishing in. You know what the problem is when you get saved? You don't fear that fire anymore because you're not going there. But it says some say with fear. It says others say with fear. That's not only fear on their part, it's fear on your part. You're afraid for them of what they're going to suffer when they die and go to hell. You know, it's a shame that that verse that says some have not the knowledge of God, and speak this to your shame. But this verse convicted me today, and that song was just an example of how it convicted me when it said, it said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. You know, I knew it. There was a time when I had a zeal to see souls saved. There was a time when I was out with a street ministry, and there was a time when I was doing a lot more than what I'm doing now. It says, though you once knew this, and I knew it, how that the Lord having saved people out of the land of Egypt, that's what destroyed them and believe not. And I got my salvation, and to me sometimes it just doesn't matter with anybody else to say. And I just don't even care. But you know that verse convicted me, I need to be put in remembrance. That this world costing me 2 years.
Amen.
They're costing me in the souls that are going to hell. And I should be fearing for those things.
Amen.
Yeah, when I was doing a study on Papa Kuma Lot, I ended up in Isaiah. Then I got to one, you know, I didn't have to go too far. Seemed like the Lord just said, there is. And then I got to one, by verse 2, it says, hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth. The Lord has spoken, has nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations, incest, and abomination unto me. New moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, that the man of witness is iniquity, even a solemn meeting. Your new moon and your appointed feast, and my soul hated. There are the trouble unto me, I am weary today. And when you stretch forth your hand, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, you will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You know, to me, that tells me that, well, you know, I have a lot of the will of the Lord, and when I get back to him, or whatever, well, I was rebellious to God. And I was hoping that I could be good a couple times, and then I overlook on but that don't look at that. My work was that we were all missing. We were all missing all the time. And I was hoping to reason about myself, reach the things out. And I'll read on and say, watch me, make clean, put away the evil of your wounds and my eyes, speak to the evil. Well, I still live myself. I tried for years, I tried to beat myself. I tried my own self to put away evil from my eyes and see things. I said this. It says, learn to do well, seek judgment, and be depressed, judge the bodily, flee the world. This was the invitation. Come now, let's do this again.
I
I didn't want to reason with God. I want to reason with myself, and my flesh, and my soul. I knew that if I had to reason with God, I was going to have a hard time. Then I had to humble that. I had to have a hard living. Stop being lame buck. Come, let us reason together. There's more. Lord, let them be a part of
it. Amen.
Let them be part of it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, let you read that person. Let them be a part.
Thank you, Lord.
And he cleansed me from all my sins.
Amen.
He cleansed me from within. And he still tried to follow from the outside. He had to do the overhaul from the inside. He said, if you're being willing and obedient, he said, eat the good of man. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured.
Praise the Lord. Hey. You know, I talk about invitation. You know that if the Lord invited me, that he gives you salvation. It was with all my religion, with all my proud thinking that I was already saved, and when you commit, it would seem like something completely foreign. But that one verse right there, come now, let us read together. So that they should be a star, it should be white as snow. If they would be red like crimson, it should be as wool. Then when I really got a hold of that, that was some of the most beautiful words in my life. A couple of years ago, when I came to those church doors, I was in the service and proud. And I thought I was a Christian, and I thought I was saved, and I thought maybe I could come here and show some people some things. No, that wasn't the case. I came here basically to feel good. You know, I came to church because I wanted to feel good. I was tired of going out and partying and having a good time and not feeling good. Waking up in the morning and just feeling bad all over the place. And I came to church, and for about 2 months, I felt bad. I could not be happy at church. I couldn't. No matter how hard. And I finally realized why it was. It was because every time I walked through that door and sat down in that seat, and that preacher up there was talking, man, it spoke directly to me, and it was convicting me and slashing all the things that I'd ever believed in. And I had to finally come to... And I was confused. I didn't know what to do. I said, well, Lord, I'm going to church. Lord, I'm saved. You know, why am I not happy? And then one time, I forget who was preaching, but someone preached something. Man, it was a salvation message, and it was so clear. Man, it was just so crystal clear that it had hit me full in the face that Christ Jesus was my substitute. Amen.
You know, that he died in my place.
Amen.
And, you know, I knew what it meant to be... to take somebody's place. And a lot of times I had to take somebody's place on guard duty while that guy got to go to town. And so I knew, and when I remembered the Lord Jesus took my place, I said, that's it. And I was reading something in Isaiah chapter 55. If you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't know.
Yeah.
If you don't feel good, then you can't feel good. And not in anything that you can do either. It's because of a simple invitation that someone gives you. You know, it's funny how sometimes if you get kind of depressed and you're sitting down and maybe you're sitting at home and nothing's happening, nothing's going right in your life, and then somebody calls you up and says something like, hey, you want to come over Friday night? We're going to do this, this, and this, and this. And then you're all of a sudden real happy. Wow, I'm going to be somewhere just because someone invited you someplace to do something. And, you know, you sit back down and you're on your couch and nothing's changed. You know, you're the same as you were before, you're still sitting at home, you know. But something's happened. Someone's given you an invitation.
Amen.
And I tell you what, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave me an invitation, man, that was something good. He says right here, he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water.
Amen.
And he that hath no money, come buy me. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without honey and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ears, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. You know, that's got two applications there. Number one is for the lost. And maybe some of you don't understand what it means when we say lost person. We're not meaning that you don't know where you're going, or you don't know where you are in the physical sense. And maybe you know exactly where you are, 602 Oak Knoll. But you know, when Jesus Christ looks at his sheep, and there's one not there, there's one out there that he's called, well, God calls him lost. And so if you're lost, it just means that you haven't been found yet. That's a good way to put it. The shepherd hasn't found you yet.
Yeah.
And you're somewhere else other than in the flock. And you're somewhere else other than in the body of Christ. In the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he means when he means lost. That you're somewhere other than where you're supposed to be. In the Lord Jesus. And so when he says here, this invitation here goes out to those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe you got religion, got some form of formality that you maybe go to church and you have some things that you do that are good, but if you're not saved, if the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't given you a personal invitation and you've accepted that invitation, then you're declared what the Bible calls as lost. Yeah. And there's a simple way to fix that, and that's just to accept his invitation.
Amen.
And it says here, call everyone that thirsteth. You know what? A man who doesn't know Jesus Christ, he's someone who's thirsting for something. I remember a time in my life when I was just thirsty. Not that I couldn't get enough water to drink, but that inside my soul there was something, there was a longing for something. And I just couldn't figure out what it was. I was doing everything to try and satisfy it, and it wasn't nothing was coming together. I felt so empty and so dead inside. But you know something? Oh, everyone that thirsted, that message of the salvation, when Jesus Christ says, as many as received him, then gave you power to become the sons of God, Jesus Christ's invitation goes out to those who are thirsty, to those who have that longing in their soul. And if you have something in your soul that you just can't satisfy, well, this, the Lord Jesus can satisfy.
Amen.
And he's given an invitation here to everyone. Don't think that you're excluded because maybe you've done something in your life that you maybe think that you're so cracked the Lord will never forgive you for. You know, because Jesus Christ can cleanse all sins. And he can cleanse every stain on your heart. And you know, and it says there, everyone that thirsteth, he's talking to every single person in this world. There is nobody. You know, there's a lot of people who teach a lot of things and say that only a certain number of people can get saved, only this type. No, that's wrong. Yeah. Jesus Christ can save anyone that would come to him. And that includes you.
Yeah.
And it says, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, that's something that's good. You know, you can be dead broke. And this thing don't cost you a dime. You know, sometimes these Christian people, they come to town and have these big rock concerts. They call Christian concerts, you know, and they charge you $7 to get in or whatever. And you know, it costs you something to get in. And then they preach the gospel or something inside of there. But you know, it costs you something to go in and listen to. But you know, the real salvation by Jesus Christ costs you nothing.
Amen.
It costs you no money. It's without price. And he says, buy it.
Amen.
You know, that's something else. How do you buy something that you don't got no money to pay for? Well, you know what you need to do? You need to pay for your sins. Everybody needs to pay for their sins, the sins that you've done. Those sins are what make you feel so empty inside. Those sins are what are eating you away, and that sin nature inside of you is what's eating you away. You gotta pay for it. But you know what? He says, buy this, but buy it without price. He says, you ain't got no money, don't worry about it, because I got some. And you know what that money is? It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, brother was speaking last night about, you know, we need new blood. This old blood don't do any good. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what cleanses us from every sin. And he says, come ye to the waters, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then he gives a question here. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? You know, if you're working, you work for a week, you get your paycheck, you go to the store, you buy bread, you eat that bread, your money's gone, you get paid the next week, you go down to the store, you buy bread, you take that bread home, you eat it, and next week, and it's a continuing cycle. You know, it's a never-ending process. But you know, this is something that you can buy this bread, and it's never more, you're never going to have to go back to the store and get it again. You know why? Because Jesus Christ calls himself the living bread. And he's the true bread that came down from heaven, and if we eat thereof of his bread, we live forever. And you know what? Eating of his bread, it just means partaking in him. You know, just if receiving him. That's all you got to do. And it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You know, this can go out not only to people who don't know the Lord, but Christians also. There's a lot of us here that are spending a lot of time, a lot of labor, and a lot of money for that which has got no importance. It should be a rebuke to us. You know, there's times when we're just wasting our time. We could be doing better things, but instead we're just wasting our time And that verse right there says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? We can't afford to take any time to spend our money for anything but which is that which is not bread, but that which is bread. In other words, we can't afford to take any time and spend our whole lives searching and building and working for something that's not going to help the going out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and help other people get saved.
Amen.
Because when you spend your whole life doing nothing but laboring for yourself and building your own little castle and providing for your own little needs, you're being so purely selfish, and there's people out there and there's people all over who want to hear the gospel,
Amen.
But can't hear it because you're too selfish to share it. And that's what he says there, and that verse hit me hard. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? That went straight home to me. And you know, I gotta look at this verse every now and then and say, yeah, I gotta read my priorities.
Amen.
You know, it goes down, it says, hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, that's something good. I tell you what, if you haven't been saved for a very long time, I tell you what, you know how you get happy? Delight yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, a man that gets saved, when I got saved, I finally realized, well, I said, yeah, I'm lost. I need to get saved. And I got saved in my barracks room up there. And you know what I did the next night? Went down to the dance hall. You know, it didn't do me no good. It didn't do me no good because I got there and I met with all my old friends and everything, and I was trying to tell them what had happened to me, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working because I was in the same old setting, and I was still striving for the same old things that I had done before. And I realized then that the Lord Jesus had put something inside of me.
Amen.
And was pulling me in another direction.
Amen.
And it wasn't long before I didn't even darken the shadows. I didn't even go through those doors no more.
Amen.
They invited me to come out. I said, nah. I said, I think I'll go to church. Hurts. You know, they kind of laughed at me, but I came here and I got fat here.
Amen.
And then I've been saved for a while, and then I went back and I thought, well, I get into this, and I started setting up this little project for myself, and I realized I was getting skinny. And you know why? Because I wasn't eating bread. I wasn't eating that which is good. And you know something? It's hard to go out and tell other people and give somebody else what you really don't feel like you have inside of yourself. But if you delight yourself in fatness, like it says right here, incline your ear and come unto me here and your soul shall live. You know, that goes out to people who don't know the Lord. All you got to do is incline to him, hear his word, the fact that he will save your soul, and hear and incline your ear unto him, do what he tells you to do, just simply receive him.
Amen.
And you know what it says? It says, your soul shall live.
Amen.
A lot of people can't accept the fact that without the Lord Jesus Christ, they're dead. You know, that's hard for them to accept because if you think you're walking around, you think that you're good. But it says that it's got a parable back there in Luke that's talking about a man who left Jerusalem. And he had no business going out of the city of God anyway and getting off down in the desert. But he says he was walking along through this road, and thieves came upon him and stripped everything he had and threw him down on the side of the road and just left him half dead there. Naked and bleeding without no way to get himself back up on the road. And you know, that's exactly how we are spiritually without the Lord Jesus Christ. We're half dead. You may be physically alive, but this physical body one day is going to pass away. You know, the life that you need is not the life of the body to be more healthy. You don't necessarily need to be more healthy. You need spiritual life.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Spiritual life can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I used to think spiritual life could come through any number of just your attitude. And I fast found out that my attitude, just trying to help out my fellow brother, and just trying to do what God told me and make token advances to think that it didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't work at all, because I still felt empty inside. But there were times when I might have done something good, and I might have done something that I felt real good about. Maybe I helped somebody else, but that was passing. It didn't last too long. And the reason is because it was just my old flesh giving me that feeling. And when I found out that I could have something that would last for eternity, I got saved. And you know something? I may have been down and depressed since then every now and then. But you know something? In the last couple of years of my life, since I've been saved, it'll be almost 3 years now. Man, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you what, he's good.
Amen.
And in the 3 years that I've been saved, I think I've been more joyous, had more peace, and had just a general assurance and a security that I've never, ever had before.
Amen.
You know, sometimes in my life, before I knew the Lord Jesus, I had some type of security. And I had something that but it was always passing.
Yeah.
And always passing, and it was always, you know, whatever happened on the outside was what affected me. You know, however my surroundings were, that's what would affect me. But now I found out I've got something else that when I eat that makes my soul live, that no matter what happens around me, I can look to the Lord Jesus and the life that He gave me inside.
Man, it gives me peace.
Amen.
And it gives me joy.
Amen. And there's a lot of people that just can't understand that. They say, well, how can you feel good when things are bad? Well, you know, the Lord has said bad things. Well, I don't necessarily look at that. You know what Job said? When his wife told him to die, when she told him to just curse God and die and give it up when he was being persecuted and in temptation, he says, shall I not receive good at the Lord and not evil? You know, shall I only take the good things that are coming my way and not take the bad things too? You know, Job was, he was a tremendous man.
Amen.
He was a tremendous man when all those things happened to him. It amazes me sometimes how he had all this wealth and all this riches. And Satan came to God one day and said, look at your, and God says, did you check out my servant Job? Consider Job. Says, he's an upright man, he's a good man. And Satan says, yeah, he's only good because God's protecting him, because you're protecting him. You know, take away your protection now and touch everything that he's got, he's gonna curse you to your face. And God says, alright. And he goes down there to Job, and God says, okay, Satan, you can do anything you want to, but don't touch him. And so Satan goes down there, and all of a sudden Satan has free reign on everything that Job had. Job was sitting there probably back in his recliner. His sons and his daughters were down there in the other house. They were having a nice little feast, and they had all the kids over, and they probably had the brisket on the barbecue and everything, and just having a nice afternoon. And then Satan came. You know, sometimes right before the storm hits, everything's nice and calm. And I bet Job was just sitting back, relaxing. All of a sudden, somebody came bursting into his house, all out of breath, and said, Job, somebody's come, and they fell on all your mules and all your oxen, and they've taken them all away, and they killed all your servants. All his farmers that went out and farmed that grain and farmed that corn and plowed them fields, they were all dead. He no longer had any more farmers working for him. And not only that, but he took away all the farmers and just took them away. Gonna be no crop this year. And then another servant came running in and he said, Job, guess what happened? He says, I was down there and all of a sudden a big old fire came down from heaven and burned up all the sheep and burned up all the servants. And I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. And I'm sure Job was pretty upset by this. And, you know, somebody else came running in and said, you'll never believe what happened. He says, I was out there and all of a sudden the Chaldeans came down and they took all your camels. And it killed all his servants. Now he had no transportation. All his camels were gone. All his sheep were gone. No way to make any cotton now. And all his agriculture, it was all gone. All destroyed. I bet Job said, well, I'm going to have something to tell my sons and daughters about this. And just as he was probably thinking that, I don't know, that's not scripture. But another servant came running in. And he says, you're never going to guess what happened. And Job says, don't tell me. And the guy went ahead and he said, and he says, a big old hurricane came out of the middle of nowhere and the wind was blowing and the four corners of the house where your sons and daughters were having a barbecue fell down and crushed them all. All dead. I was putting myself in his place. You know, I don't think that's how I feel. I think I would probably feel pretty bad that, man, all these things were just destroyed out of my life. But you know, sometimes that will happen to us. You know, sometimes, and not just because you're particularly singled out either. There are some times when maybe just bad circumstances have come your way, and maybe you've lost everything that you've had. And Job certainly lost everything that he had. And in the next chapter, we find out that Job's health even failed. And he had sore boils over his whole body, and he was so in much in pain that he could barely move. And not only that, but he had a bunch of friends that came over and gave him nothing but trouble the whole time he was in this. You know, I thought about that many times, and I thought, there's one thing about Job. There's one thing about Job that he just didn't give up and die. And you know why he didn't give up and die? It's because there was one time that he probably heard an invitation from the Lord, and he knew that there was a God in heaven.
Amen.
You know what? I remember what he says. He says, naked came I out of the mother's womb, and naked will I return to thee. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says in all this, Job sinned not with his lips. And then later on in the book, we find, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what I think is just the most precious thing about life here on this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ? The most precious thing that I know is the fact that no matter what happens to me, the Lord can take everything I've got right now, and I've still got something.
Amen.
You know what I've got? I've got that which I bought a long time ago with the Lord Jesus' blood. Something that's living inside me now, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And though all things may change, and things may go up, and things may go down, I've got the assurance and the fact that I am saved.
Amen.
You know, when bad things happened to me before, I had no assurance. Bad times would come, I'd feel bad. Family would split up, and all bad kind of things would happen, and I'd feel bad. And you know, things go well, and I'd feel pretty good. But you knew now, even if things fall apart, I can still feel good. And I can still have a peace, because I know that even if I never make anything here on this earth, I've got a mansion. I got a mailbox up there made with pure gold.
Yeah.
Got my name on it. And I got a mansion sitting right behind it. And I tell you what, I can't wait to get there.
Amen.
If you don't know for a fact that you've got a mansion waiting for you when you get up there, man, how can you have any kind of peace at all? You can't have a peace, you can't have any kind of lasting peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The world would look out there and people that don't know the Lord Jesus look at you like, you're pretty funny. And you're pretty crazy. And there's people at work, I work with some of the strangest guys who've been on the road for a long time, and man, you just meet some weird people out there. You know something, they think that I'm strange. They think I'm some kind of Bible scholar and a Bible nut. But you know, actually, I'm the sanest person among them all.
Amen.
Because I know the truth.
Amen.
And the truth is that the one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back in the clouds and he's going to take me home to be with him. And then I'm going to have the last laugh on everybody.
Amen.
And I'm going to be up there and I'm not only going to have the last laugh, I'm going to have the last eternal laugh. And millions of years down the line, I'll still be having the last laugh.
Amen.
And you know where Satan will be? The one who's deceived all the minds and he's closed all the hearts. He's going to be down there having the last cry. And he's going to be crying for eternity. You know, Satan isn't going to be down there in hell, ruling over hell, and pitching everybody in the rear end with a pitchfork. That's not what he's going to be doing. You know where he's going to be? Satan, the almighty Satan, not almighty, but the mighty Satan. He's the second most powerful being in the universe. You should never try and cross paths with him without the protection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's a mighty man. And he's the second most powerful being in the universe. And one day he's going to be just like him. They're going to look at him and they're going to say, you, this creature right here was the one that went and caused trouble in the nation and caused mighty kings to fall. That man, he's nothing. And he's going to be burning and tortured in hell right along with everybody else. With no power whatsoever. You know what it says here? It says, I incline your ear and come unto me here and your soul still lives. And you say, yeah, that sounds good. And I really need to do that. I really need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I really need to take that into my life and accept what Jesus Christ has done for me and believe on it. But you know what you say? It's not a good matter. I'm not going to do it tonight. You know the chapter doesn't end here. It keeps on going, and in verse 6, it's got some very solid words. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Amen.
Call ye upon him while he is near.
Amen.
Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he may be found.
Amen.
You know, I was talking with a man just the other day, and the first time I got a chance to witness to him, I said, look, you don't have much time. And he looked at me and said, when somebody's presented with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, usually he'll accept it, and sometimes you'll completely reject it. And if you're one of those ones that completely reject it, you may never get another chance to hear.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk out in eternity not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, you really don't have much time to consider what I'm telling you. And I said, you could die tonight. Of course, he didn't believe that. And the next day, I had him in my truck, and I was witnessing to him again. And finally, I read him a scripture that says, now is the time of salvation. And something clicked inside of his head. And I said, you know something? You can't read that verse. You know, Satan might just find some little old lady to broadside you and try to kill you tonight so that you don't have to take up on that offer. And he looked at me kind of strange for a minute. You know what I found out afterwards? I found out that when I told him before that he didn't have much time, that night on the way home, some little lady came out of the side street and broadside. I don't know what made me tell him that, but he got saved. He realized that it wasn't long to go. And you know, we do not have a long time. You do not have a long time. Forget everybody else. Forget everybody else in your family. It's your own soul that you got to worry about.
Yes, right.
It's not anybody else's. You don't have to worry about what you're going to look like in front of your friends, what you're going to look like in front of your families. That is all immaterial.
Right.
Because the Lord God Almighty, the creator of everything that we see here on this earth, is calling you to be his son.
Yes.
And if you reject that, the Bible says, foolish. You're very foolish because you're looking at the things that are going to burn up and you're basing your life on that and you're not basing your life on something that will never change. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't find security in a job. You can't find security in a way of life. There's only one true security for your life that will give you secure peace, secure joy, and secure leading in this life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It says down there, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, it gives a comparison here. It gives a difference between the thoughts of God and your own thoughts. Your own thoughts say that there's still something good that you can do to get to heaven. And your own thoughts tell you that you still got a chance because you're a fairly good human being. And I've got no doubt that most everybody here is probably a moral human being in the standards of the law and the standards of the world. But you know something, in God's eyes and in God's standards, there's no moral man. And there's no good man. And even the good in us is declared as filthy rags in the sight of God. You know why that is? The reason why we look so bad is because Jesus Christ is so good.
That's right.
And there's only one way we can get into heaven, and that's to take his good for us. And he's already paid the price. And all we gotta do now is accept that good that he gives.
Amen.
And there's a difference. We don't think that way. And it's strange when we get confronted with salvation because we realize that all the things that maybe the priests have been telling us for years, all the things that maybe our family has been telling us for years that we've been maybe reading in books or just hearing here and there have sounded good. That's because they're our own thoughts. They're thoughts of another man, so they sound good to us. But you know, God's thoughts are far different. There's a verse here in verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in a classification with the wicked. Say, how can you call me a wicked? You don't even know nothing about me. How can you call me wicked? I'm not saying that you're a murderer or an adulterer or a fornicator or anything like that. I'm not making any kind of accusation. I'm just looking at how God sees. And God takes his law and God takes his perfect commandments. And he tells you that if you break the least of those commandments, you might as well have broken them all.
Yeah.
And that's how he looks at it. And it says, let the wicked forsake his way,
amen,
the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Do you know how you get the pardon of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not by just keeping on going your way and hoping that one day you're going to make it. There's got to be a turning around point. There's got to be a point when finally you see the truth, and if you are willing to turn from everything that you've got and turn unto God and follow him.
Yeah.
And you know that? A lot of people have a problem with the word called repentance, and there's a lot of big controversy over it right now. But you know, simple repentance is just realizing that your way is not God's.
That's right, yeah.
And in salvation, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts you on his way, and it turns you around. But you know, there's some people who think that just for the spur of the moment, just for the emotion of the moment, that they'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ just to get that conviction off their soul, and it turns out to be nothing more than a mouth profession, and they just say, okay, Lord, I believe in you, and satisfy their own heart for just a minute, and keep walking in their own sinful way. You know, that's not salvation. Salvation is seeing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way,
amen,
the only truth, and the only way to get to God. And when you see him like that, you don't have any more hope for what you can do.
Amen.
Then all hope for your way is lost, and the only hope you have is God's way.
Amen.
That's why he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, when I turned to the Lord, and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, he did that.
Amen. Amen.
God does not say will, he will do something and then turn around and not do it. You know what? If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be, if you've entered in to this salvation, don't think that 3 weeks down the line you're going to lose it. Because God is not that way. God never changes, and when He gives you something, He doesn't snatch it right back again. And when He gives you salvation, it's yours for eternity.
Amen.
And you, when you get on that road to God, and when you get on that road to glory, it's just simply walking in God's ways, and you will be on that road.
Yeah. It says this, for the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn tree shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Excuse me. You know that word, God? It's everlasting. It shall not be cut off. You know, if you trust this word and believe what this word says that you can be saved.
Amen.
This word says that you can know that you're saved.
And there's a verse in John. In John chapter 3.
Yeah.
It says in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. To believe in the Son. You can believe about the Son. And it was preached last night, you can believe all you want to about the Son. But if you don't believe in the Son, and receive Him, but it says, but as many as receive Him. You know, you can believe about the Son and never receive Him, and it's not going to do you any good. But you know, it says that you have everlasting life. Are you saved here tonight? Then you have everlasting life right now. You're not waiting till you die to get everlasting life. Why do you think that Christians can be so happy all the time? Because they got something.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I can be happy because I've got everlasting life right now.
Amen.
Right now, this minute. And I know that if I die, I don't have to wait till I die and then find out whether I made it or not. Because the Lord says, because of something that another has already done, Jesus Christ, I can have everlasting life.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. And I tell you what, I'm going to go to my grave by God's grace, telling everybody that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You've got a choice. You can reject Jesus Christ. That's your prerogative. That's your perfect choice. But you know something? You never get what you need. You never get what you ask for. And you're contradicting yourself when you're running after peace, when you're running after joy, and you're running after contentment, and you're rejecting the only one that's ever going to be able to give you that joy, peace, and contentment.
Yeah. Don't reject him anymore. Because he can give you eternal life right now just by you asking, and it'll be forever.
Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 252. Hymn number 252. From every soul by sin oppressed, there is mercy with the Lord. He was good to give you rest. I'm trusting you with your rest.
The truth of the way that made you live.
Parker continues to play at the piano. If you're here tonight and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the message of that song is only trust Him because He will save you now. The message has been that He will save you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you say, Brother King, I wish you'd pray for me. Well, as a Christian, this place is pray for me because I'm not saved and I want to be saved. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. You just raise your hand and pray for me. I want to be saved. Maybe this Christian here tonight can say, pray for me. I've got a burden on my heart and I need a prayer to be saved. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Amen. Amen.